fine. I just wanted to thank you for a very magnificent and masterful address.
Thank you, Walter.
It really was tremendous, and I want you to know there was just tremendous response at the end and when I introduced you.
Well, we heard it back here, and I heard what you said to your boys, the students, whoever
well, there
it was.
Were 20 kids came in, you know, yeah. And I
we had a good report on them. We had a good report on them, and they are... you'd be surprised where it started. Would you like to know?
Yeah, I would.
Democrats faction. They got word from your people. They received the information. They passed it on to the Mike Hannon for Congress Committee. He is a Los Angeles Police Department officer that's under suspension as a result of his participation in various demonstrations during 65. The committee in turn contacted the W.E.B. Du Bois Clubs of America in Los Angeles immediately.
Uh-huh.
And these University of California group, these organizations immediately rushed into special meetings during the afternoon and evening of May the 19th. They decided upon this action to be aimed at the President of the United States. Members of the Du Bois Club contacted the Freedom Now Committee, which met on the afternoon of the 19th. The above mentioned organizations resolved that they would throw this picket-type demonstration around the President at Long Beach, and it should be formed at approximately 2 p.m. May the 20th, continue throughout the day, continue in the evening following the President to the airport. Two members of the Freedom Committee reported they were in contact with certain United Auto Worker delegates who were very much in sympathy with them and aiding them and the anti-Vietnam protesters who would be participating. The theme of the picketing, they said, would be end war in Vietnam now. We had a man with them during the whole thing, and that is going on, Walter, pretty well. You are an old hand at this, but that is going on every place. The vice president.
My problem last night was, you see, I couldn't get a hold of it because it was the middle of your speech. They sat there, you know.
I thought you handled it perfectly. What you said at the end that this is our meeting and not theirs, but let's not descend to their level. Let's not descend.
Exactly what we did, you see. Then they lost the interest. Then they got up and left.
Well,
the minute we ignored them, I said to these fellows, look, they can picket, but they have no right to disrupt our meeting, and if they don't behave, let's just ignore them. And at that point, our crowd did.
Yeah, I think that was right.
And,
I think it was
you heard the response. I mean,
sure
it just sharpened up the kind of support that they gave you there.
That's right, and I thought that the reception was good, and they have asked me. I just finished a press conference a minute ago, and they were commending the speech, and I pointed out the leadership, what we'd done. They asked me to come over, one of the fellows from a London paper, and then NBC and CBS, too, and make a recording of portions of the speech for their Sunday shows. And I'm going over to
record it. Oh, it was a tremendous speech. And what we're going to do, we're going to print it up with a little booklet that we got out for the award that we're giving you. It'll make a very beautiful thing. And then at your convenience, I'd like to bring my other officers, and we'll come in the White House
We'll just love it, my friend, and we'll be waiting. And you just tell Bill Moyer someday that's convenient, and get your best people, and we'll take whatever time you need. And I'm very indebted to you and the people of this country are for your social consciousness and what you do. And I'm glad that you just don't take one little bitty thing about whether you get $4 more for painting a bill. And make that the only issue. I'm glad you understood in sick people and in mentally retarded and in beautiful things and in better roads and better schools and better churches and better foreign relations and better understanding of the world and so forth.
Well, what the 14B mentality doesn't understand is that nobody can make progress excepting that everybody makes progress.
And I'll tell you what you liberals got to understand. You just got to understand this. The things you've been talking about all your adult life, by God, I've done them in 2 years. Now you got to get another program and come on and let's get it and get started on it and quit belly aching about something like 14B.
I couldn't agree.
If you'll just tell me what we're going to do, our life expectancy is over 70 and we'll hit 80 and let's see what we're going to do with these folks. And we're just using half of our potential, but we're doing nothing about studying. What are you going to do about these kids' teeth? What are you going to do about these little kids' eyes? My daughter Lucy comes from a daddy that makes $150,000 a year, and for 3 years she is making C's and D's and flunking out because one eye is looking one way and one the other. Now a third of the kids in this country got problems like that. We're doing nothing about it. That's what we ought to be working on. They up here raising hell with me. Joe Rao yesterday said Johnson sent his civil rights bill to the Congress too late. Well, now instead of abusing me and tearing me down, and making me weaker and joining with the Dixiecrats in criticizing me, he knew that I had to incorporate in this bill the Supreme Court decision. Right. And when it came down, I had to take 2 weeks. The lawyers just couldn't rewrite it. But he likes to show his independence and jump on me. But if they want to, they ought to get march into this town and help me get that bill passed. They all say, well, let the president pass it. Well, I haven't got that power. I've just got to have some help. You've got to get some people into this town. These liberals have got most of their program passed, so they're paying no more attention to supplemental rent. They're paying no more attention to the improvements in the administration of Medicare. They're paying no more attention to elementary education. They're just off, by God, making speeches, and you've got to get that crowd.
It's easier to make speeches. You know, I went over, I don't know whether Harry McPherson told you or not, I went over to that Civil Rights Leadership Conference.
Yes, sir.
And I took them on. They had all the red hots.
Yes, he told me. Harry told me.
We'll get all these changes in the president's bill. To hell with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took them on. I said, look, you have a right to fight for your amendments. But by God, if we don't get a single amendment in the president's bill, it represents a tremendous step forward. And we're going to go up there and work and fight for it.
That's right, Walter.
And we finally got them lined up. It's like pulling teeth.
Walter, what they've got an idea, these boys, that they're super legislative tacticians. Now, they're really not, and they don't get a thing in the world by going a whole lot farther than the president. I think they make me weaker. I think if Bobby Kennedy and Joe Rao and Russell and Talmadge all hit me the same day, that I am weaker the next morning than if just Russell and Talmadge hit me. And I think if they'd get up and say, I've got a hell of a good bill, we'll pass this one and we'll get another next year, it would be better. But they want to hit me. And I think pretty soon, both of them working on you, they get each leader down where he is he is not invincible. They did it with Roosevelt. They did it with Truman. They did it with Kennedy. He couldn't pass the Lord's Prayer with a lead pencil. And they will do it with me. Now, to me, it's not a wise thing to do. I think the party ought to get behind the platform and stay right behind it. Then if they want it more advanced, I'm willing to have a task force and sit down and work out one for next January. But they oughtn't to be saying, well, he doesn't go near far enough, and they think that's the way to get them to meet it, but it's not.
Well, look, the first job we've got, I don't want to hold you, I'm going to get a hold of my friend George Meany, and I'm going to say, look, goddammit, we're going to put together the Labor Democratic Party Johnson coalition, because we need that coalition. We can't even begin to make progress unless we're working together. And goddammit, we're not going to let Sidus picketing and frustration over 14B stand in the way of the great society.
That's right. You know what the story is this morning on my speech to your convention last night back here in the New York Times?
No.
The machinist man that installed you spending his time talking about Johnson not being interested in bills that were for labor. And the whole interview, Siegenthaler or Siegenbiller, and the whole damn thing was critical of the only guy that he's got to lead him. Now, it's just like you're questioning your mother and saying that she's got too long a dress and she doesn't wear enough lipstick and that she's got a cross eye. Hell, she's your mother, and what you ought to do is say, come on, Mama, let's go.
Yeah, well,
that's the way.
I'll be in touch with you.
Thank you, Walter. I enjoyed it, and I was glad to do it, and I think that we've got a lot to do yet, and I think you take the running gears of that speech and we can write a new program that'll make the New Deal, the New Frontier, and the Great Society ashamed of themselves.
That's right. Well, I thank you again from the bottom of my heart.
Bye.
Thank you.